Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the Mile at Syracuse to the Bull Rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the latest edition of Low Down and Dirty. I am your host, Joe Adams. Along with me, as usual, to my right, Brian Whippy Whitman.
What's up?
To his right, also, Captain Scotty Deal. Welcome to the show, Scotty.
Thank you, Joe. How are you doing this evening?
I am freaking fabulous.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
And the apprentice, Eric Whip.
Yeah, the apprentice is here, Eric Whip. Mm-hmm. And the queen is behind the board here running it for us. We thank her so much, Miss Tammy Allman. We got a pretty neat show here tonight. We got a lot of variety of things going on here. Billy and Jake Maynard are going to be on the show here momentarily, along with Billy Pouch Jr. I'm waiting to hear a confirmation call. We may have a friend of mine on for a couple minutes telling us about some things that he's got cooking.
Clarence
ain't been out. It's too cold outside for Clarence, man. Clarence been staying in the house, you know, keeping warm by the fire, you know. You don't come out when it's cold. So it's going to be a pretty cool deal.
All right. That's cool. Hey, Webb, you got some birthdays to talk about, right?
Yeah. Got to give a shout-out to my modified hero, Billy Pouch Sr. His birthday was a couple of, but then we got to give a shout-out to the godfather, Fast Freddie Raymer, as he celebrates a birthday also.
Yes. Yeah.
And we got to send out get-well wishes to the Iceman, Coleman Golick, former USAC sprint car driver out of Binghamton, New York. Got burned in a house fire.
Second-degree burns on his arms.
Yeah. So, get well to him. And he's headed back to New York, and he's done USAC sprint car racing, but he's not done racing, you know?
Yeah, he's looking for opportunities close to home.
Yeah.
That would be nice. That would be nice to have him back in a race car someplace.
Absolutely.
Be cool. He's worth the price of admission, that boy.
Yes, he is. You know, so
to Coleman and his
whole family.
His family, Pete and his mother. Her name escapes me right
Jill.
Now.
Jill.
We wish them the best and a fast recovery for Mr. Golick, the Iceman.
Hey, I attended it's a formerly Race World, my dad's car show, but now Mr. Stolarczyk has it, and it's called the Southern Tier Speed World Race Car Show up at the Oakdale Mall. And,
right.
It was pretty cool this week. I get to go home. I get to give a tribute in honor of my dad. And, man, we were up there, and there was a car up there that had a military tribute to it, and it was just something special that knocked my socks off. And we're going to have them on right now. Matter of fact, we have Jake and Billy. Who we got? Is this Jake?
Hey, you got both of us, sir.
All right, see, we got Jake.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty.
Yeah, welcome to Low Down and Dirty, man.
Give us a little bit of a lowdown, Whip, on how you met up with these guys this weekend.
Well, I was up to the car show, and, we do a best-appearing car show for my dad in honor, and walking around judging all the cars, and this one just stood out. It's a military tribute. Pictures do not do this car justice. You have to see this car in person.
And there are some very nice pictures in this week's Area Auto Racing.
Yeah.
Pick up a copy and take a look at this.
I mean, it's just... Now, Billy and Jake, come up. Tell us how you guys came up with this design and everything for this military tribute.
I was working in shop late one night by myself, and I was trying to think of something unique to do on the car. I'm a sign maker by trade, so I was trying to think of something a little bit different. And Jake, he's a senior in high school this year.
Uh-huh.
He's looking at going off to college this fall, so it may be our last year for a couple of years doing very much racing. So I wanted to do something that would be memorable, and this is what came to my mind.
Well.
And I went to the house later on, and I talked to Jake and my wife about it, and we kind of put our heads together. My wife had the idea of the dog tags on the side of the car, which really got my creative mind going, and it just took off from there.
I mean, how many tribute, how many dog tags did you get, you know, more than the 109 that are on the car?
There are 109 on the car. What we decided to do was to use social media to let people submit names of loved ones or good friends, or they could even submit themselves. We didn't limit it to just injured or veterans. Any service member was welcome to submit their names. And in 3 weeks, we got 109 names, and the car was such a hit this weekend. I'm really flattered by how much interest it got and how well it was received. We had some people that didn't know about it that saw it and for various reasons had people really close to them they really wanted to see on the car. So we kind of looked around for a little extra space, and we found 13 more spots. And 12 of them are already gone, and there's one spot left. So when that's full, we're full up. I don't want to get so many on the car that it's overbearing, but it did really turn out well.
Oh, it's
yeah, for people that are trying to imagine what this looks like, the dog tags are, you know, they're what, maybe twice as large as a normal dog tag, right?
Yep.
And it has on the door, it has a beautiful picture of an eagle with out of its mouth a chain of dog tags, which extends out the rear quarter and then onto the back deck and then down the other side in the same kind of fashion. Just a beautiful design.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. Hey, Jake, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, you overwhelmed by this success of this car? I seen you on Facebook. He wanted to just wrap it in bubble wrap and just leave it alone. I mean, taking it out the first night's going to be a little rough, ain't it?
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of a little nervous about doing that, but Dad and I are going to make some extra doors and quarters for it for a show body.
Oh, cool. That's a great idea. You know.
Hey, guys, you know how these racers are on the first night. They don't want to scratch anything. I'm thinking about rubbing it down the side of the garage on the way in the trailer.
As you put it in the trailer.
I'll put the first scratch on so he's not afraid to drive it.
Knock the pretty off before you get to the track, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I seen Sunday. I was up there Sunday, but I heard a story Saturday. There was actually a grown men that were standing next to this, and they were crying. They seen their name, you know, friends and loved ones. Dog tag names. I mean, this is just, you guys knocked it out of the park with this car.
Yeah, we actually had a father of a soldier that was killed in Iraq in 2006 here locally that sent us replicas of his son's dog tags to put in the car for luck. And he and his wife came and saw the car, and it was very emotional for them, obviously. But they were just absolutely thrilled. Like you said, if you can't imagine what it is, they tried to, and they couldn't imagine what it was going to look like. But when they got there and saw it in person, he just kept repeating that it couldn't have been done any better. He felt that it was perfect. So that meant a lot to us. It really did.
Hats off to you. Now, Jake, where are you going to run this year? Are you going to run 5 Mile Point pretty much on a Saturday night?
Yeah, we're going to run 5 Mile Point pretty much, and me and Dad have been talking about a few appearances at ID8 this year also, and that's in New York.
Great.
Yeah, see, we don't get the IMCA modifieds down here in Pennsylvania, you know. That's just, we don't get that division to race around here, which is kind of a shame because this division's come a long way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Now, Jake, we really like it.
Yeah, is this your first year in the ISMA modifieds? Or your second?
No, actually, we started in 2012 at Dunhill 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out with a three-link bar chassis, 2000 Dirtworks, I'm pretty sure. And a few races into the season, Dad thought that my driving ability was too much for the car, so we went and bought a four-link bar car. And that's the car that we currently have right now.
Uh-huh.
We finished third in Dunhill 2 points as a rookie, fifth in the PA state points.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure fifth in the Eastern Region rookie points and 20th in the nation rookie points.
That's really doing great.
Yeah, that's very impressive little resume right there, young man.
Now for our fans that don't know too much about IMCA modifies, why don't you fill them in a little bit on the style of the car and where you race?
The style of car is basically a Western modified, like a Woodasota. It's not like the Northeast type dirt modifieds you would see.
Mm-hmm.
These cars have a spec tire, which is like a brick. You can't even put your fingernail into them. That's the equalizer. No matter how big of a motor you make, it's going to be equalized.
Now, they have a square tube front end on these, right?
Yeah, we have.
No, actually, they're kind of a hybrid. The rear of the car is similar to a late model. It's a four-link tube chassis, but they use a stock front clip. A lot of the guys will run a 68 to 72 Chevelle front clip. Some guys will run a metric front clip, but by IMCA rules, the stock frame rails have to remain to within 30 inches of the center line of the rear end housing.
Yeah, because I noticed this on these cars. The front end of these things is like a Chevelle, and then it has the roll bar chassis welds into the front suspension clip.
Yeah, it makes it quite a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then it's an independent front suspension.
Yeah.
Okay, now,
yeah,
with
IMCA rules, they have to use a stock lower control arm. So
holy moly.
That's pretty much it with the front clip is the front frame section and the lower control arms.
Yeah, they're really cool.
All right, so this is not like anything.
No, this is not. This isn't your standard, you know, you can't just go, this is a
this
exotic.
This isn't your father's modified.
No, no. And then, like Billy said, in the rear, it's a late model.
Okay.
Yep. Now, very similar to what they run in the full-blown late models, yep.
Now, there's not too many of those vintage cars that, like you talked about, but, you know, there's not too many of those around. Now, there's enough of these stock frame rails to go around yet?
Actually, there's a company out in the Midwest that bought the castings from GM that actually makes new stampings. So you can buy a brand-new front clip to build a car.
Ah, so you don't have to go to the junkyard and go find a 67 Chevelle that someone decided to crunch instead of keeping as a classic.
Right. You don't have to. We have, but you don't have to.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. What are the chances? So what's the goal for the year for 2014 with the 69 instant modified here?
I'll let you handle that one, Jake.
There you go.
Well, we're going to go out and give it basically the best, and I'm going to make it the best year I can since I'm going off to college here soon.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we actually captured my very first IMCA win after 22 races under my belt in a full-blown car.
Wow.
That was at Black Rock, the very first night out, and second race of last year, actually. This year, we're going to actually go for more wins and make more friends, basically.
All right. So let me get this straight. Your first time you were in one of these cars, you won?
Actually, I won my first feature at Black Rock. Like, I've never ran Black Rock.
No kidding.
Yep, his rookie season, his best finish was second. And then last year we had a series race at Five Mile Point to open the season out. And then the very second race of the season at Black Rock Speedway, he won the feature, which was the weekend of my birthday, so that was my birthday present. And ironically, many years ago, I've raced at Black Rock Speedway, which was Dundee at the time.
Absolutely.
One time in my career, and I won the one time I was there. So we both won there our first time there. So that's pretty neat for us both.
That's cool.
Wow. This is like movie script kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
that's cool. That's really cool.
That's good stuff. Yeah. So, hey, well, Jake, who's your sponsors on the side of the car? Who do you want to sponsor? Who helps you out for this year?
First, I would like to thank SNA Construction. Beers Motors, Graphics by Billy, Flying Cow Bakery, Jay Orshak Seal Coating, Weatherson Collision Repair, The Barber Shop, Ayers Chiropractic, Forbes Machine Shop, B&J Photos, RC Welding Supply, Horizon Powder Coating, A.C. Smith Napa Company, Diamond Egg Carbs, and also like to thank my dad, mom, my girlfriend Jay Lynn, grandpa, Uncle Joe, Cousin Dalton, good buddy Mike, and thanks to all the service women, servicemen and women out there for keeping us free.
That up, boy.
That up, boy.
Hey, I don't want you to get in trouble when you get home there, Jake. Did you get your little brother Mitch?
Oh, yeah, little brother Mitch, too. He helped a lot, actually.
Uh-huh. He's 11 years old, and he and I stripped the car down to the bare frame in 2 days last year, so he'd better thank him for helping.
Uh-huh. Hey, we got a guy who wants to ask a question. He's a vinyl guy, too.
Actually,
hey,
I don't have a question. Oh. I don't have a question. I just want to let our listeners know that if you go to Facebook.com/ Lowdown and Dirty, there are two new photos posted of Jake Maynard's military tribute IMCA modified car on there. Very
cool.
Nicely done. Beautiful job.
Yeah.
Awesome tribute.
That's coming from another vinyl guy.
Thank you. I certainly do appreciate it.
No
I've
problem,
I've won a few best-appearing cars over the years with my own, but this is the first best-in-show I've ever won with anything that I've lettered, so it was really an honor.
Good for you, and you will find out in time. I have probably about 60 or 75 of those awards, not to brag, but that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee out of the machine. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Nice bubble burst there, Joe. Way to go.
Yeah. No, it's just the truth. But no, excellent job on that. You should be very proud, and everybody associated with your team should be proud.
Thank you. We sure do appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Well, hey, we want to say thanks for coming on, guys. We wish you the best of luck for the 2014 season. God, man, get them panels made up, because this car is going to be on display, I think, a lot up there in the Binghamton, Pennsylvania area, because that's just a great tribute.
You bet. We'll do it, guys. We'll keep her looking good just for you.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on Lowdown and Dirty, Jake and Billy. We really appreciate it. And good luck for 2014, man.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the show, and have a great night.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right.
Jake and Billy Maynard.
What a good, you know, now that's it. Father, son, you know, family-oriented. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, it is great when in our sport when you take the whole family racing with you. You know, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's just good stuff. And that car, go on Facebook, like that car, like Jake and Billy Maynard, and
like Lowdown and Dirty.
And like Lowdown and Dirty, and that's just we gave him the Bob Whitman Race World Best of Show car. The first time I seen the car, I was like, there's the winner.
You haven't seen all the cars yet, but you said, there he is.
That was like, God, that's so touching, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have anybody in the military, so, and hats off to every men, women, service member in this country.
Yeah, this is a big tribute.
Yeah.
And we wish them the best. I mean, all the luck when you step out there with something like this and represent our service men and women, they deserve everything going their way as much as possible.
Yeah. So. All right. So cool. Hey, are we going right to Wayne?
I think we are.
Let's not lift, man. Let's go.
Let's not lift.
Yeah.
Right up against the wall.
Right up against the wall. Slamming it on the right rear up against the cement wall. We got the voice of the Lincoln Speedway, Mr. Wayne Harper. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
We're hanging in there, man. We need a racing fix, but I don't, you know. Mother Nature's got to help us out.
Well, we might get it on Saturday.
That's what we're hoping for.
If it happens, it's our favorite show of the year, opening day. I just double-checked today to make sure, and we are planning to race on Saturday at this point. So
news.
We were supposed to get between 6 and 12 inches of snow on Sunday night into Monday. We got about 1 to 2, and as soon as I knew we only got 1 to 2, I figured these guys are going to be looking to go. We have a couple inches of snow in the parking lots yet, and the promoters are getting some guys to come down tomorrow or Thursday, I forget which day, to shovel the rest of the snow off the cement grandstands. You know, one of the unique part of our grandstands, or one of the unique parts about our track, is we have a great deal of our grandstands that are cement, meaning nothing can fall down through them, and they're built on the side of a hill. And, of course, that goes back to our cement contractor, Weldon Sterner, who we have a race in his memory every year. But he put the cement bleachers in, and he also, or grandstands in, and he also put the cement walls around the outside of the turns. And the problem is, because nothing can seep down or fall down through it, the you know, the snow doesn't melt; it just refreezes. So they got to get the they got to get the snow off the grandstands, and you know, if we get the warm temperatures, well, warm's a relative term when you're talking the 40s. But yeah, if it's above freezing on Wednesday, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, like they're saying that it's going to be, I think they're planning to give it a go on Saturday.
Great.
That is that is really great news.
Yeah.
Those were words that we've been waiting for a long time this winter.
Well, I know, and I, you know, once again, I don't want to make any promises because something could happen between now and then, and they may, you know, Fred may get on the racetrack, Fred Putney may get on the racetrack and say, listen, it's frozen too far down in, we just can't get this surface ready for racing, and that's all feasible and possible.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you guys know if there is any possible way, Lincoln will get the show in Saturday.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Wayne Harper from Lincoln Speedway. Talking about the probability of getting this race in this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
The painful thing was, and it was painful to everybody that's involved with Lincoln, our scheduled opening day, I joked with people at the car shows over the winter that we'd have sunny skies and 60 degrees. Well, on opening day, it was sunny and 56 degrees. That was the high. It's mm-hmm. the nicest day we've had since last fall. And we couldn't race because we had a foot and a half of snow on the ground, you know, mm-hmm. and that was, I will tell you, that really, really hit us hard, you know, those of us that like to go racing and like to open the season and like to, you know, race on opening day. Last week, of course, it was, I think they had a high of 32, and that just wasn't practical, you know, but...
Right.
Hopefully we can get it in Saturday. If it's possible, we're going to. And, of course, if we end up canceling or postponing another week because the track's frozen or something's wrong, we'll let everybody know, you know, on the Lincoln website right away.
Right.
Well,
tell us
the
social media.
Good, good. Tell us about what the parking lots look like. Have they been plowed or are they ready to be open?
No, we didn't plow. We wanted to just let the, you know, the parking lots just, you know, the snow melt naturally. The problem was if you start plowing, then you're losing some space for parking, and they wanted to kind of let it melt naturally. Now, I will tell you that there's still a couple of inches on the ground in the parking lots. Now, our parking lots, as most people who have been there know, they're open fields. They're just grass fields
right.
that get mowed. There is some, it's not macadam, but they have like an oily mixture with stones to make like little driveways, you know, mm-hmm. in through the parking lot. And, you know, once again, they're a little bit more solid than an actual farmer's field, but you can still get stuck in them, you know,
yeah.
if it's too muddy or whatever. I don't know. It was 3 or 4 years ago we ran a race, and there was still snow piled up in the infield and stuff when we raced. And we ended up having to use a grader to pull a bunch of cars out that got stuck in the parking lot. You know,
I remember
that. We don't like... You know, to do that, and we don't like to inconvenience the fans, but it's kind of a no-win situation right now.
Right.
If it's a decent day and the parking lots are muddy and we don't race, people will criticize us for not racing. You know, that would be like un-Lincoln-like, if you know what I mean. But on the other hand, if we do race and a bunch of people get stuck, they get upset then. So, you know, I know the promoters will do what's in the best interest of the fans because the fans, you know, are what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, Lincoln,
has the track itself been removed on the track itself?
Most of the snow is off the racetrack. I was up there Saturday. Now, of course, it was our second straight postponement last Saturday, but I needed to go up and do a bunch of stuff. And I, of course, obviously, I was planning to be there, and we ended up getting postponed. So I made a little venture up to the track one Saturday, picked up some stuff, did some filing, and I looked at the track, and there was a little bit of snow that was still down on turn one, and there was a little bit of snow on turn four. Now, they're the areas where the sunlight is kind of blocked by the, you know, the walls and guardrails.
Okay.
But most of the track was not snow covered, and of course the pits are clear because that is macadam, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sure Fred, you know, plowed that all through. So, you know, it was one of those deals where I looked out and I thought to myself, you know, if it wouldn't be 32 degrees or 31 degrees right now, we could be racing. But then again, there was still a couple inches of snow in the parking lot. So, you know, it just wouldn't have been practical, you know. And once again, the one thing it has to be to race is over 32 degrees. You know, you've got to have, you know, you can't have a frozen track. It's impossible to prepare. And
right.
like I said, it's frozen down in right now, and hopefully later this week it'll thaw out enough that Fred can, you know, turn it over and run it in and get it ready for Saturday.
Because Lincoln fans are loyal, and they'll be there.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, opening day is one of our biggest crowds of the year. Now, granted, we got a lot of big shows on the schedule this year,
yeah.
and we've had huge crowds for big shows in the past. But opening day is always one of our biggest days and as far as turnout, you know, of the fans and attendance. And needless to say, a lot of people have cabin fever. A lot of people are ready to go racing. And, boy, I'll tell you what, this winter has been so long and so difficult that I know that 46 degrees or 47 degrees that they're projecting for Saturday, you know, that's going to seem like balmy weather to the people that turn out if we are, in fact,
oh, yeah.
able to race.
Oh, yeah, if we get those 50 degrees.
Somebody will be in T-shirts and a shorts. You will.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect it 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, we got – now, Lincoln is getting on board with this big money races now with this Casey Kane 20,000 to win race towards the end of the year.
Well, yeah, and I think that's something Lincoln needed. You know, Lincoln's been well known, of course, for its Manufacturer's Night, and of course, Lincoln's been known for all of its great racing and all those kind of things. This big money race at the end is something that Lincoln, I think, really needed, and it's great to see Casey Kane come on board and get involved with this thing. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane is going to be September 27th. I think... they've actually started reserve seat ticket sales for that already.
Wow.
And I, you know, so that's something that's going to be available to the fans, you know, right up front at the early part of the season. You know, we're going to have the Outlaws there twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got several sponsored nights, of course. We have the All-Stars that are going to be there for a night. We have USAC that's going to be there for a midweek show in June. You know, plus the end of season Gensler Memorial, the Manufacturer's
mm-hmm.
Night, and of course this Dirt Classic. Now, 20,000 to win, unsanctioned show, and that should attract some interesting sprint car drivers.
Yeah, I mean, being unsanctioned, that's almost unheard of anymore.
Well, it is. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of that.
Right.
I will tell you, quite frankly, there was some fireworks after that show was announced. Okay. But, and I'm not going to say from who and by who and why. Most fans that know sprint car racing know exactly what the issues are with that. But the bottom line was Lincoln wanted to do a show that was unsanctioned and open to anybody that wanted to race. And, you know, it should be a great show and it should be a great turnout. And like I said, I think the big, huge money race for Lincoln just kind of it's the cherry on top. You know, it's icing on the cake, but it's something that Lincoln needed, you know, and I think it's good they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that date is
September 27th.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's kind of like Lincoln is now like part of the money races, you know, like Knoxville and the Grove, you know,
right.
and also now Lincoln's got like a big money race. It's all part of the month of money now. It just keeps getting bigger. Now it's like the 2 months of money.
That's right.
And, it's good for sprint car racing.
Yeah.
It's good for the drivers. It's good for the fans. I think it's just, I know that the promoters are very excited about it. I'm pretty excited about it because I think what it does, like I said, I think it just really rounds out what I think is already a really good schedule
mm-hmm.
for Lincoln this year.
Yeah.
We lost the Thundercars, that division, which was fantastic at one point in time. A perfect storm developed, and guys were spending $20,000 to win 250, and
Jeez.
We weren't doing a very good job teching the cars, and a lot of guys moved to other divisions that were a little bit less expensive and paid more, and
uh-huh.
and unfortunately, we had to let go of the Thunder cars, but what we've done is added additional shows for the other divisions that have run there. The Super Sportsman will be there a couple extra times, the 305s will be there a time or two more, So we're going to see, the All-American Outlaws will be there a few more times. The Legends have gone from 5 to 10 appearances during the season, and the Legends have kind of become our third division at Lincoln. Once again, all the shows, I just think that we have a fantastic schedule this year, and I'm real excited about it. And, once again, I've seen racing at a lot of the tracks around the country, and I still have never seen better sprint car racing than at Lincoln. And
right.
I'm just hoping that fans that have never been there before come over and check it out.
Absolutely. Now here's the other tough thing that you're going to have this year. You're not going to be announcing Fast Freddie Raymer.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's the you're exactly right, and I'm glad you hit on that, because in addition to a really good schedule this year, and in addition to the fact that we have good racing to begin with,
mm-hmm.
we have a wide open field this year in terms of, the racers. I still think Brian Montes has got a beat for the track title, and he's already won 4 titles in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Alan Crimes, and I really like Corey Haas this year. Now, there's a lot of other great drivers at Lincoln, experienced drivers, guys like Danny Dietrich. Lance DeWeese is going to be there most of the time this year because
Ooh.
His car owner, of course, is from the York area. Now, Lance isn't going to be there every week, but he's going to be there most of the time. Of course, Greg Hodnett makes periodic appearances,
right.
Et cetera. But we have six people that are moving into the division this year that I think are going to be worth watching, and obviously they're going to make it a wide open racing this year. Of course, we don't have Fred Raymer anymore. He's retired, but his sons are going to be there, Freddie and
yep.
Brandon. So the Raymer boys are going to be starting. Of course, the Mackesons over the past few years, we've had the Mackeson brothers as rookies of the year the last 2 years. Of course, they're young drivers, and they're there. We have a couple of guys out of the 358 division. One of them is Austin Hogue. Now, he is one to watch. He is fantastic talent. And, of course, he was last year's Central PA 358 sprint car champion. He won like 5 races in the 358s at Lincoln this past year, and he's moving up to the 410s. He is going to be one to watch for Rookie of the Year. Tim Wagaman is moving into the 410s permanently at Lincoln this year. He is out of the 358 division, a former track champ at Lincoln in the 358s and at Trailway. You have a guy coming on, I think, a little later in your show here this evening, Billy Pouch Jr., a good friend. He's a great guy. Really good for the sport, a great ambassador. He's going to be there 10 to 12 times this year with a sprint car, a 410 sprinter, on the nights that he doesn't have a commitment elsewhere, in another division.
Right.
And then we got all the other guys like Brent Marks, and so much talent, McIntyre, Gerard McIntyre, and Glendon Forsythe. And, I know I missed several drivers, so I don't want them to be offended if they're listening in, because there's a lot of really good drivers. It is going to be a wild battle for the track title this year. And we're going to see an interesting mix of veterans against young rookies that have one heck of a lot of talent, and they've proven
right.
it in other divisions.
Now, Ryan Smith changed rides this year over the winter. You got any commitment that you hear from that he's going to be returning? Because he finished seventh in points, I believe, last year.
Yeah, and I think they are planning to run Lincoln, although I have not had an opportunity to talk to Ryan directly. We have another Ryan, by the way, Ryan Wilson. You know, when you talk mm-hmm. about really outstanding sprint car drivers, here's another one. Ryan Smith, I have not talked to directly. I have not heard for sure, but I think he's planning to run Lincoln, you know, on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Ryan Wilson's moving into the 410s, I believe, this year, too. Now, he's run 358s and 410s over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of bounces back and forth, but I think he might be in the 410 division this year. So,
right.
I mean, we're talking – I'm really, quite frankly, expecting – 30 cars a week, you know, at
wow.
Lincoln, at least, okay,
wow.
As long as everybody can hold out financially and has
right.
the equipment, you know, to bring. But I'm really expecting to see 30 cars there a week, and there is no junk, you know.
Uh-uh.
It is all good stuff, you know. And so a real interesting combination, seasoned veterans, young rookies with proven talent. And I'm expecting a wide-open points chase this year.
That's cool.
That sounds
like he's getting me excited, Whip. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just got the hair in the back of my neck.
Yeah, I'm
off.
Ready. Are we ready there yet?
Yeah. I'm ready for a roast beef sandwich and some
roast. Yeah. And
yep.
and some of the best ice cream you're going to get.
Yeah, some of the best ice cream.
Oh, and you know what?
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about it, I forgot one other guy. He's a former opening day winner, and that's Adam Wilt that I wanted
yep.
to mention also.
You go, Adam Wilt.
Adam's exactly. got some guy. He's got some guy named Stauffer helping him this year, you know, and that kid shows some promise. That Stauffer kid. I think he knows a little bit about race cars. And, you know, once again, Adam has been really, really fast the last couple of years, hasn't had a whole lot of luck, although he's won a couple races at Lincoln. But he's another guy that could have a breakout season because he's got, you know, some guy named Stauffer helping him out. And, you know, that, once again, chemistry is the magic secret,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
when it comes to performance. And,
yeah.
you know, Lee's fantastic. And,
yeah, week,
once
week
again,
a week and two in a car.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
right. That's exactly right. So, I mean, once again, you start looking at all these guys. I personally, and, you know, everybody says, well, 410 sprint car racing's in trouble. Well, it may be elsewhere, but
yeah.
not in Central PA.
No, I think we're good in the 410s in Central PA.
Absolutely.
Yep, I think so too.
Yeah.
Now, Wayne, I might have missed you mention this gentleman, but Jimmy Siegel.
Jim Siegel is, you know, his dad and I are very close personal friends, and Jim's got a lot of talent too. Once again, I hate to even mention names because I always forget somebody, and you're exactly right. There's just another name to the mix, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Siegel's a fantastic talent, great kid. He's, you know, he wins once or twice or three times a year, you know, at Lincoln. And once again, he's going to be part of the mix also. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just every time you think about a particular driver, you know, that, oh, he's going to have a good year, well, then you think of somebody else, you know. And it's just amazing the talent that's going to be racing there on a weekly basis.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I got one for you. Do you have the most memorable moment you've announced at Lincoln Speedway? Do you have one?
I don't know. I got a lot of memorable moments. I was just talking to a very good personal friend of mine this week. Actually, we were emailing each other, and he sent me a story I told him that he still laughs at to this day. We had a night where it was raining at Lincoln, and we were having trouble. Fred Putney was having trouble getting the track ready, and he actually spun the grader. And he was up in turn two, and the grader did a 360. So I call him on his cell phone. I say, Fred, that was awesome. And Fred's response was to just hang up the phone. Click. That's all I heard. My personal friend who happened to love that story is Dave Hare, the Saturday night announcer up at Williams Grove, who spent some time out with me on the road when we did the Sprint Car Network stuff. And Dave and I are very, very close personal friends. And we were just talking about that online or by email today. He said, I just can't get over that story. He said, that story just kills me, you know. But
yeah.
I, as far as on the track, I don't know. I hate to say any one particular thing. I know Fred's run from the back in the last of first challenge at Lincoln several years ago sticks out in my mind as quite an exciting race. That's where you got the extra money. I think you got $15,000 to win to go and cuddle from last row to win. I know Fred's 12 wins in a row was pretty impressive a few years back at Lincoln. In these days and ages of how evenly these cars are you know, specked out with each other, it's amazing to see a guy win 12 straight times. That was, you know, but once again, that's over 12 shows and not just one. Last year's race, if you were there between Danny Dietrich and Donnie Schatz, was pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you were there, I mean, I think Donnie was actually scored the leader of one lap in that race, but they raced wheel to wheel for 30 laps last year in the Outlaws show. Of course, once again, getting back to Fred, when Fred beat the Outlaws the last time they were there before that 14-year hiatus, that was pretty big. You know, Billy Bryant's upset of the Outlaws at Lincoln several years back was big. You know, I can't say there's any one particular thing.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's just some of the things that I look back and remember and say, you know, they were great races.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, every race has its own storyline, and, you know, just about every night you could write a book, you know, about things that happened. I mean, that's how exciting the sport is. And for people who really watch sprint car racing and love sprint car racing, you know, I'm sure everybody has lots of great stories, you know. But there's some of the ones I remember through time.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if you're just joining us, Wayne Harper's on the line with us, the voice of Lincoln Speedway. Wayne, just want to ask you a question about the schedule this year. Disregarding the regular night, regular shows, what are the special shows coming up this year? Is the one you're most anticipating?
Well, I once again, I really think that this Dirt Classic, the Casey Kane race, September 27th, is going to be big just because I'm anticipating it. Not so much for the fact that it pays $20,000 to win and it's an unsanctioned race, just anticipating the kind of drivers that may show up, you know, for
that
race. And I think it's going to be a who's who. You know, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer that you're going to see some of the Outlaw teams there. They do not have a show scheduled for that night, so, you know, there's no conflict there for those drivers. I think that's going to be one of them. Of course, the World of Outlaws are there twice this year. May 14th, that show is a Wednesday night and carries a Thursday rain date. The one in July, I think it's July 17th, there's no rain date for that because that's the night before the Summer Nationals start at Williams Grove. So that one does not have a rain date. I always anticipate opening day, of course, knowing that we got a full season ahead of us, which is really exciting.
Absolutely.
I love watching the USAC sprinters. And, of course, they're going to be there on a midweek show Wednesday, June 4th, as part of that Eastern Storm, you know, series.
Mm-hmm.
And URC is going to be there with them in a 360-358 challenge. But that's going to be an exciting race. I love the All-Stars, always have. They're going to be there June 14th. And then we've got a number of sponsored nights during the course of the year. But our normal show is the 410 sprints and 358 sprints. And, of course, you know, there are a number of other divisions that are going to be racing there during the course of the year as a third division. But, you know, they're the big ones, I think, that I'm really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got one. My most memorable moment, Lincoln Speedway. First annual Kenny Wells Memorial. 8 minutes, 32 seconds. Go home. Green the check. Never forget.
That was a spectacular race. Is that the one Shepard won?
Yes, it is. In the 4J.
Yep. I matter of fact, I just saw Jeff over the winter here. He was inducted into York County Racing Club Hall of Fame, and he was surprised. He had no idea that he was being inducted. He brought you know, his rivalries with Fred Raymer are, you know.
Epic.
I don't know. They're epic. You're exactly right. That's a perfect description. They were epic. But, yes, I remember that race nonstop. Jeff was so tired he had to sit on the back tire when he got out because he was out of breath.
They were spent, man. It was amazing. That was only like my fourth time ever at Lincoln, too.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And I looked.
There, yep.
I'm worried that you remember it so well.
Oh, how could you not forget that? I could probably tell you right where we parked and where we sat.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
that's
the moment.
Funny.
Well, my other big thing was last year when Mrs. Raymer, you were interviewing, you had Al Hamilton and all of Fred's car owners on the front speedway, and Mrs. Raymer said, "You can boo my husband, but you cannot boo my kids."
I wouldn't get within arm's length of her watching her kids race, you know, while they're out on the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, she gets pretty wound up about that. And, you know, she's a great lady. Debbie's been great for the sport as well. Fred's been fantastic for the sport. It's going to be funny because it's going to be, I'm trying to think of what the word is. I guess surreal. Now, Fred and I, he started racing about the same time I started announcing. And, you know, we've kind of grew old together there through time. But it's going to be pretty surreal running races without Fred there, actually on the racetrack racing. Now, he's going to be there. He's going to be in the pits and all that. And we'll feel his presence, I know. But it's going to be a little strange for a while without him being out there on the racetrack racing. You know, it's kind of funny because he always talked about the fact that the guys that raced against him around him made him better. Well, it worked the other way around, too, and that was all the other racers were better because Fred was out there. Now, we have a lot of guys now that have a lot of talent and a lot of experience through the years that have, you know, raced against Fred their whole career. And it's you know, once again, there's a lot of great talent out there on the racetrack. But the first several races, at least, it's going to be just really, really weird, you know, without Fred.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, he. It's going to be tough, man.
Yeah,
that's the godfather in our eyes, man. He's the godfather of the posse.
Well, I know what you're saying, and, you know, once again, you asked me about some of the great memories I have, and a lot of them did involve him just because of the talent he has.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see how our guys stack up against the Outlaws this year. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who wins the track title. That's going to be just a wild points race all season long, you know, and just all the new teams and the new combinations, you know. Heck, even Hodnett and DeWeese have different rides this year, you know. So there's very little out there that is the same, you know. Yeah. And it's going to be this story, you know, I mean, the racing's going to write the story for this coming season. And I think it's going to be one of our great years of all time.
Yeah. What makes you why didn't the Outlaws draw to Lincoln? For years they wouldn't come to Lincoln, and all of a sudden now we got two shows.
Well, once again, there was a lot of politics involved in that whole thing. And I will defer to the promoters on explaining. I mean, I know why the Outlaws weren't there, but it's not my place to say.
Right.
I'll put it that way.
Understand.
Understand.
And it was a combination of business and a combination of several other things. And you know, I'm just glad it's all worked out and they've come back. I just think the world of Tom Deary. I think the world, of course, as you guys know, I was out on the road with the Sprint Car Network doing a lot of races through the years over about a 6 or 8 year period of time. I got to be really, really good friends with a lot of the Outlaws, and, you know, I know most of them, and, you know, I think the world of all of them, and I know one thing for sure. They are the greatest drivers in the world, and by and large, probably better than our group of Sprint Car drivers talent-wise. On the other hand, several of the guys that are out on the road have mechanics from Pennsylvania and have other experts from Pennsylvania in Sprint Car racing that help them. And, of course, some of the best Outlaw drivers now have Pennsylvania experience. And, you know, so once again, it says a lot about this area. But I've made a lot of friends through the years, both with the Outlaws and, of course, with the local teams. And I just, you know, once again, the Sprint Car drivers are the best drivers in the world, no doubt in my mind. And that includes the Outlaws that come in. And, you know, it's funny because we beat them pretty bad the first year they came back to Lincoln. Last year we had the winner, but they had second through fifth. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Outlaws win at least one of the two shows this year, you know, because these guys now have had a couple looks at the track, and that's how good they are.
Yeah.
Right.
And when they do come back into town, we're going to see some familiar faces in with that shoe cart fella and Jacob Allen, right?
Well, yeah, and once again, the last word I heard was they were planning to follow the tour, and I think Jacob wasn't really feeling well whenever they were down in Florida, you know.
Right.
And once again, they're two young talents. They're just spectacular. You know, Jacob last year I considered the most improved driver from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. He did a fantastic job, you know, during the season, and he improved every time he was at Lincoln. Of course, we all know how good Shewhart is, and their respective dad and grandfather there, Bobby Allen, knows a thing or two about racing also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
teaching them well, and once again, they are future stars of the sport.
Well, it looks like social media is telling us that they did make it to Vegas, so expect to see him out there this weekend.
Well, that's good. And you know, once again, I know their plan is to follow the tour this year. I'm hoping that they're able to, stay with it. And obviously, if Jacob Allen keeps improving as dramatically as he did at Lincoln this past year, he's going to be in the hunt, you know, by the second half of the season every race. And, of course, Shewhart will, too. I mean, Logan's a fantastic driver, and they're guys to watch also, no doubt about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, hey, we're on the top of the hour. Wayne, we just want to say thanks for coming on, and hopefully we get to go racing Saturday at the fabulous Lincoln Speedway, and we get to hear the famous words come out of your mouth, which are?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we've now seen the sprint cars at full song, and all is again right with the world.
There we go.
Yep. That's like a tradition. You have to hear that at Lincoln Speedway on opening night.
You wouldn't believe how many people say they look forward to those words. All is again right with the world. I didn't know it was that big of a deal, but they just go bananas whenever they hear it.
It's your tagline now.
Yeah, it's your tagline, man.
Well, that's great. And, you know, I'm hoping also, like I said, if we end up having to postpone again because of the weather or the conditions of the track, we'll let everyone know through the social media and also on the website itself, which is just www.lincolnspeedway.com. And very much hoping that we open the season this coming Saturday.
Absolutely. Cool. We're going to stop in and say hi to you when we see you Saturday. We're thinking positive.
Do that. We'll see you on Saturday. Thank you for having me on. Tell my buddy Billy I said hello when you get on there with him. And, hey, best wishes for a successful season for you guys, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Harper. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care.
All right.
All right. Mr. Wayne Harper, everybody. We appreciate him so much being on the show tonight. And,
what a cool guy.
Yeah, he really is. I think we're going to take a break right now. I mean, we've been up on the chip pretty long here. Whippy needs a break.
We need a
break.
All right,
we'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, everybody. This is your old pal Clarence on behalf of Lowdown and Dirty. We're going to be talking about some wings tonight here from the Wingman Bar and Grill, located over here in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. The Wingman Bar and Grill serves the freshest, mild, hot, suicide, and tough guy wings if you can handle them. They also have a nice menu of hot and cold subs, pizza, wraps, and paninis. The Wingman also has 12 beers on tap and a large selection of cold takeout beer. In addition to the fine eat-in dining experience, a large takeout menu, a wide assortment of beers on tap, the Wingman Bar and Grill also holds special events and entertainment such as Texas Hold'em Poker, trivia, karaoke, and from time to time, they even have some live bands. Take advantage of Wingman's outdoor seating for the summer. Enjoy the summertime. The restaurant and bar are open daily from 11:30 a.m. on up at about to 2 a.m. And a bar menu be available at the 10 p.m. So be sure to check out their website for weekly chef specials. You can find them at the web at www.wingmanbarandgrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com / The Wingman Bar and Grill. The Wingman Bar and Grill has been voted best wings in Philly for 4 years in a row. Also voted best burger in 2010. For takeout service, call in your order at area code 267-923-5067. Stop on by and bring some friends and make a night of it. The Wingman Bar and Grill is located at the shops at Upper Hanover in downtown East Greenville, PA. Stop on in. Clarence will be over there eating some wings and chowing down. Grab a beer and have some fun. Let's all go to the Wingman in East Greenville. For 26 years, Joe Adams Lettering LLC has been providing graphics and lettering to a large base of clientele throughout the United States, and even as far away as St. Martin's, Netherlands Antilles. Services include signs, truck lettering, race car lettering, logo design, and much, much more. Joe Adams Lettering LLC is the graphic provider of choice for many of the local schools, churches, athletic departments, racetracks, and promoters alike. Our friendly service and attention to detail ensures that our clients are receiving the finished product that they want, need, and desire. Starting a company and need to get recognized? We have full branding capabilities, from logo concepts to the finished product, placed right on your sign, company truck, van, letterhead, and business cards. All done right here, in-house, at our Bechtelsville facility. Joe Adams Lettering LLC custom designing capabilities set you apart from the competition. We provide custom t-shirt artwork, banners, yard signs, magnetic signs, billboards, and much, much more. Take advantage of our full printing capabilities and get noticed. From small window decals to full wraps, we got you covered. Give us a call at 484-638-0931. Or you can check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ Joe Adams Lettering LLC and like us so you can keep up with some of the latest happenings. Look for our logo on the side of a race car at a local track near you. And remember, love the A, and the A will love you back. Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt, friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117. Or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117. Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes.
Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
Are we back live? Hey, we're back live. Lowdown and Dirty, Tuesday night. We're at the Wingman. On the phone now, this young man has his plate full of racing this year, Mr. Billy Powell Jr. How you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Hanging in there, man.
Hanging in there?
Young man, you got quite the race schedule this year.
I don't know. I like to enjoy racing. The only one that might do more racing than me is Whippy, you know.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, I got a lot of great people behind me. It makes things a lot easier, you know. And I've had situations before, and then I've really got confidence in the situations I got going into this year. And we ended 2013 on a great note, so hopefully we can build off of that to 2014.
If you're just joining us, we have Billy Pouch Jr. on the line, and we're going to chat with him about the upcoming season.
Yeah. So,
how come I didn't get invited down to this bar you guys are at?
You could have came. Can you make it to Grandview Speedway on a Tuesday night? Because we're like 10 minutes away.
That's all right. I got so much work to do right now. My head's spinning, but that's okay. I'll talk to you guys for a while and have a little fun here.
There you go.
Yeah. So what's the first race of the 2014? What are you going to run? Where are you going to be?
My plan is actually to start out with the modified March 22nd there in New Egypt with their ROC show, and
okay.
then Big Diamond will start the following Sunday. But honestly, I'm going to be weekly at Big Diamond with my own car this year, but if it don't get warm enough, I'm going to wait till they open up. And we plan to start with the sprint car midget the first weekend in April here, so things will get cranking here pretty good.
So you're going to be a regular on a Friday night at Big Diamond?
Yes, I am. I'm taking my own 15 there. My plan is to run there full season. I've got the sponsorship and everything behind it to do it myself. But I mean, obviously, if it gets to the point where it gets to be too much on a Friday night, I might have to back out of it. But I mean, my plan is to go for everything. We're loaded up for Bear. We got two or three motors here. We're coming for a heck of a shot at it. Probably the best shot I've had in a long time up there.
Who's helping you out with that deal?
The Growers Garden Center is back on board, which is he had the car I drove a couple times. Nick Knoll, 6N, he used to have up Syracuse a couple times in Middletown. He's coming back on board. Specialty Rigging from Pennsylvania, Ken's Tire, Atlantic Sprinkler. I got about four or five. I did it a couple years ago with the T102. It was kind of my own deal, and this is actually way better than I was back then. So I think we got a pretty good chance. I got a new crew member coming on board this year, which is pretty exciting. The new crew chief there, he was down in Florida working with my dad, so I got something to build off of, you know.
Oh. And dad ran pretty decent down in Florida on them Hoosiers.
Yeah, no. He was pretty damn good down there, to be honest with you. And, I ended 2014 there. I got hooked up with a kid from New York there, Johnny Pfeffer. He moved down, and we teamed up, and we almost won New Egypt there with my own deal. We blew up leading with about eight to go. We went to Grandview, I ran third, and broke one in front of the field. So we got the damn thing going pretty good. So I really, truly believe we're quietly putting together one of my best situations to go to Big Diamond. So
now, where's that motor package coming from?
Precision New York, Precision Motors, right by Middletown.
There you go. So
he's built good motors, and actually he built the Petruscas for a while there, and I love their motor, and he did a motor for us, and we got a Ford, a Chevy, so we're loaded for we're bare here. We'll see what happens.
Oh, that's great news.
That's big. That's breaking news. Billy Pouch Jr. coming to Big Diamond every Friday.
There you go.
I've been known it for a while, and my buddy Diamond Duck, he's busting my butt not to put it online, but I don't know. I've always been about press and stuff, but this might be the year. I just kind of been keeping things quiet and building things quietly and trying to come out and show it on the racetrack, not show it out off it. You know what I mean?
Sneak up on everybody, eh?
Exactly. We're building. That's where I'm at now, working on the modified tonight, and we're gaining ground on that, and we're chugging along.
Whew. I'm tired already.
Yeah, I know. Last week I worked. Tuesday night on the modified, Wednesday night when I worked on the speedster and the one sprint car, and then Thursday night I came back to work at my shop, Friday I went to the mall show, Saturday. Then I stayed over with the 410 team, and we sold one of our motors. I spent there. Took my dad out for a birthday, come back, and spent all day Sunday in the shop. So it's been, I don't know. And I work a full-time job, so right now I'm probably pulling my hair out more than I am any good, but it's okay.
Wow. Where are you working full-time these days?
I'm a financial analyst for MetLife Insurance.
Oh. There you go.
Hey, can you
hook us up? Yeah, no, I actually got a really good job.
Can you hook us up for the April 26th MetLife Motocross race at
I've been working it on it myself. If I get tickets and I can't go, you guys will be my
list. I got tickets. I want to be on the track.
Track. I don't know about that. I was wondering that myself. I was like, I know a lot of people won't want to go to that. I'd like to go to it, but.
Yeah, I got tickets. I'm there. I'm there for that. That's going to be huge, you know.
No, it's going to be a big thing, you know.
Yeah. So now, okay, so we're done with the modifieds. And then today I see you're running the full Eastern Storm with the USAC swing.
That happened last Friday night. So I know you guys heard Gene Frankowiak. He's been a friend of mine for years.
Oh, absolutely.
And we both shared the love of wingless racing, and we talked about it. I drove a 36 sprint car last year, and we actually had a lot of success in the 360. And come the end of the year, we bought a 410. Actually, and then we sold our 360 last Saturday, so I'm planning on we're going to have two 410s here shortly. So our plan was, I met with Gene last week, and he's been on me, and my owner really likes wingless, so we're going to team up with Gene, and it looks like we're going to do four of the five shows. The only show I can't do is Lincoln because I'm committed to Kutztown, but we're going to run those four, and then if it all goes well, we're going to do that Ontario deal when they come east.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm a big wingless person. I think a lot of us would agree that racing is great, you know?
Well, let's talk about wingless a little bit. I mean, Whip and I are sold on wingless without a doubt. We love wingless sprint car racing. Do you think it has a future here in the East?
I'm gonna go on record here and say that there'll be a series in 2015, an East Coast wingless series. I think there's a future for it. I think a lot of people are getting hyped on it. You're seeing more and more people. I know a friend of mine actually just bought a wingless car. You're going to see him run the Eastern Storm also. So I think there's a place in the East Coast for it. So it's going to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm kind of curious myself on how this ARDC deal is going to work at Granville on Sunday nights, because I would always say midget racing is the best racing. But whether or not we can put people in the stands, I guess time will tell.
Well, I think that's all just going to have to be word of mouth and everything for that Sunday gig. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I hope so, because, you know, how do I say it? All the shows I've been to this winter, I could tell you about 80% of the people I've seen said the best thing they've seen going last year was Kutztown.
Yeah? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was
a breath of
fresh air. Yeah, I mean,
the breath of fresh air for the atmosphere, the people in the stands, just you wanted to be there, and that's what racing's supposed to be. We're losing it a little bit, and I think Big Diamond's got a fresh at Grandview. Gravy is constant. Kutztown just is a breath of fresh air, just a lot of excitement. And I'm telling you, I think they're going to really put on a heck of a deal there this year.
All right. Well, with that said, tell us about your speedster deal there at Kutztown.
Well, the plan is to come back and run. Actually, I'm running for Wayne Subaru there. I parked next to him at Pass Valley last year, and we got bullshitting and we're talking, and to keep the car 20 minutes from my house. So we got talking about it, and I said, well, you know, let me know. They got a couple 305 cars, so we got talking, and I ended up running the 305 down there at Grandview, and I think we ran third. They cut the race short on us, and or else we probably would have won. So then we went the 5 mile and won with the 305 car. The following weekend, turned around and went with a speedster and won both of them. So we're batting 75% win percentage with them, so we'll see if we can keep it going. They actually just ordered another one, so we'll have two of them, which is a little beyond me. But we're going to be ready to go, I guess, you know?
Well, talking about 305s, are you going to be doing any 305 racing? Are you going to be in those shows at Grandview on a Sunday night with the 305?
I will be there with the midget and the 305 on three of the four Sundays. The war between Big Diamond and Grandview is going to keep me from the last one, but that's a different story in itself.
Okay. All yeah.
Because right. It's against the coal cracker. And
the coal cracker, and you got to take the modified up there. Yeah.
$750 to start at the coal cracker, or a total of $1,000 if I win both shows down at Grandview. It just doesn't ring a bell in my book.
There you go.
Yeah, they one at 1-1 here. But, you know, the best line you ever said was back years ago when you first tried out a USAC sprintless car at Grandview. It was the Zemco number one, and you came on me and Kenyon's show and said, you got to drive it like you want to die.
Exactly, exactly. You got to drive it like you want to die. It's 100% the truth. So I'm kind of, I don't know, you know, this is, I've done the Eastern Storm, and I did it with Tony P. Nice guy. We struggled, though. I mean, it was... He's a low buck guy, you know, and we did all right. I mean, we qualified every show. We were competitive. It's tough to beat them guys. So I'm hoping this year we're a little better when we do that swing. And
right.
You know, I'm hoping running Kutztown Wednesday nights and the micros and speedsters are going to help me too. You know,
right.
There you go.
Now, I thought maybe the best race besides Grandview was the Eastern Storm. Was that race at Susky? I mean, I would have never thought USAC would have got around Susky that good. But wow, what a show!
No, that actually turned out very good. It was surprising because of laid rubber. But if you notice, Susky changed their track configuration. Their racers got 100% better since they've done it.
Ah. Okay.
There you go.
If you, next time you go there, look at the infield difference. It used to be a lot narrower. There's so much more room. You can widen it out totally.
There
all
you
right.
go.
Hey, out of all the tracks you travel and cruise around, what's one of your favorite tracks you like to race at?
My favorite track, I always said that was Bloomington, Indiana, but my favorite local track is usually Grandview or New Egypt or something like that. Kutztown for a little car track is phenomenal, so, you know.
Right.
Now, later in the year, in November, Grandview's going to have a two-day show with Wingless,
Wingless 600s.
Wingless 600s.
And Speedsters.
And the Speedsters, a two-day show.
I think that's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that show. I think that that's going to, you know, cap off the year pretty nicely.
I'm telling you, you know, I'm going to give a feedback to everything. I don't know, you guys have been in this race in a while, and I get a lot of positive vibe. Big Diamond, Jake's doing good things, Kutztown doing good things, Grandview's trying stuff. I think there's a lot of positive vibe. New Egypt's working towards it. Dave was putting on crazy shows like he always does. Lincoln's consistently good. Man, this is the best year I've seen in a while for racing, so I'm going to be riding that positive vibe, and I hope we have crowds to back it up.
Well, you ain't a kidding. I mean, I think the schedules that you can put together this year for a fan or for a racer, man, really gives you a lot of choices and a lot of places to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even going up April 27th. Kovac is putting on a Miss Quad Grand Prix for Slingshots, and he asked me to be a part of it. So I'm going to go up there, and it's for a charity, so it's for a very good cause, and have a little fun, so it starts picking up here shortly. I haven't really pushed with this cold weather, but once it cranks, I think we start out at Big Diamond, and then the following weekend we're on Big Diamond to the Money Mountains. Then I actually might, I don't think I'm starting with the 410 at Lincoln until April 12th, but I think I might sneak up April 5th and take in the Dream at the Green. It's like $2,500 to win micro show, and the guy who runs for Kutztown asked me to do it, so we might go up and do that.
Wow, you ever raced Greenwood Valley?
I don't even know where it's at, so it'll be interesting.
It's in the boonies, kid.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I guess I added it to my racetrack list.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, most memorable win so far? You got one?
Most memorable win. I've won one pretty – not as much – I've never won as much as my dad, but I would say – you know what's funny? I won the Georgia Stevens, and that was probably one of the most prestige races I won. I won a Don Marks Memorial. I got to win the Southern Tier with Sprint Car this year. But we don't win the neatest races I can say I won. You know, this may not be the most memorable one, but it always sticks out in my mind. We won a midget race at Susky, and it was me and Bert. And we looked at each other, and he said before the race, he said, if this car sucks, pull off. Well, we came from 21st and won the race. And he looked at me and goes, oh, both would have been that bad. And we just laughed forever. So that might be one of my most memorable ones there, you know?
Yeah. Berkey's a good guy. He's going to stir those midgets up, I think, this year.
I think he's got a good thing going there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Man, I think that's what midgets needed. They needed a little, you know, throw a little salt and pepper on it.
I think so too, man. I think they got a spice going, and I don't know. We won. Who do we win? We won 8 races last year, so I'm hoping my goal this year is to win 10. So, and the championship or two here. So we'll see what we can do, and we got the people behind it. I plan on running Jerry Stewart's midget there for probably 15 shows with ARDC. So we're gonna be busy, and but that's what I like. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you about that. What's the midget ride like?
Oh, that's awesome, man. We got an S-Winger for this year, so I'm really looking forward to running Jerry Stewart's midget. So it actually works out that there's, oh, God, I could do every race on their schedule except for five of them, even just because of Big Donovan. So, you know, I'll probably go down and the guy that owns my 410 and the guy that owns my midget are very close friends, so it works out well. So when we're, if the midget's throwing on Saturday night, we'll go run the midget and just take the night off of Lincoln. So that's why it's a very nice balance.
That is great stuff. So we're going to see you doing double duty on the Eastern Swing.
Yes, you will. For every night, well, one or two nights I might miss because my car owner might not be around, but we're going to try and do double duty there. Wednesday nights at Kutztown every Wednesday, and then Sunday nights at Grandview.
God, I'm getting tired just talking about it.
Yeah.
What kind of physical regiment do you got?
I thought I was in good shape until I went to Trent, and that kicked my butt.
Oh, yeah.
That indoor stuff, man, I was late at that Friday night, and I get out of the car, and everything hurt on me. It's like I couldn't turn, and they finally beat me out of the way. I get out, and I says, what the heck's wrong here? They go, well, you know, we didn't get power steered in these. Everyone else got power steered. I'm like, no wonder.
Yeah. And then they put power steering in the speedsters now.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious on that. I've heard mixed reactions on that, so I'm kind of I'm kind of interested. You know, I've heard that it kind of feels like a video game. So we put the option in ours, and you know, at first people were like, yeah, but their race has gotten pretty good on Wednesday nights at Kutztown with speedsters. Now you added Paula's Cozy. Man, that's going to be a heck of a show there. I'm telling you, no matter what you say. Plus the 600 micros, it's going to be the place to be in my mind. They're big time at Grandview. It's going to be a good year.
I agree. If you're around the Kutztown area on a Wednesday night and you don't take that show in a few times this year, you're missing something. We were out there quite a few times last year, Webb. How about it?
Oh, that's great. You know, I mean, you don't see that kind of talent anywhere else, man. You know.
No, especially that, and then you get the young, other kids in the micros, and like I tell people, I never heard of half the people in the micros until they started going there, and they're pretty good drivers themselves, and, you know, a kid like Lick, he's coming up, Bright, he runs them, and the micros there, so it's pretty intense there, so I'm kind of going to be pretty good.
Well, I'm excited. I'm ready for racing, man. I'm ready to go.
Man, so am I. I'm not taking in, like I said, I'm not planning on starting the 22nd. We're not going to go up to the icebreaker at Sealands Grove. It's just been too cold the winter. It's not that my cars aren't ready. It's just the trailers aren't really ready because they ain't been warm enough to work on them outside.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem for a lot of guys. They're all snow in.
Exactly. So we'll see. You know, we'll break it loose. And once dirt comes flying, we got hefty things and I got the right people behind me in the right situations, and we'll see if we can make it happen.
Hey, I think you should go to the World Finals at the end of the year.
If I have a good enough year, we're going to work on it. I want to go down, trust me.
Oh, that's a ball down there.
I learned that I'm either going back to Chili World or Florida next year. I like the indoor TQ race. It makes my blood boil. Lenny does a good job, but I don't know. I need it for me.
And he'd rather have dirt, right?
Yeah, I'd rather do dirt or something like where it's warm or something like that, you know?
Right. So, hey, when you're working in the garage, is Dad in the garage too working there?
No, most nights he is, but he's in the front room, I'm in the back room, so we. So, you know, it's not too bad, but that's kind of how that works.
Right, because, I mean, it was pretty cool today. Someone put a video up of the ROC pavement race when Dad won it down at Flemington.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And that was,
yeah, I was there for that. I was 7. That was impressive. That was one of the best races I've seen yet, you know, for him.
Yeah, well, I got stories I could tell you about, Pops. You were 2 years old in Victory Lane at Fulton Speedway.
Exactly. You know, you're never going to do something he doesn't do, but I finally found something I did. And he's won four races in one night. I went to Pass Valley and won four races in 2 days, but with two different divisions each day. He's never done that. That's the first thing I've ever done racing that I don't think he's ever done. Plus, win a 5 mile point.
Yeah, he's never won a 5 mile point. He's never won at the point.
Nope, there's very few things I ever do that he hasn't done, and that's a couple of them.
That's two of them. Yep.
Yeah.
And he almost won at the point. He was driving the 100 Zemco or the 100 Snoco car. He was leading the shooter right rear off.
I almost won Dale's race there a couple years ago. We came up second with like a lap short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the point. So. I mean, hey, are you going to do Dale's race at Middletown?
I would like to support it, but I'm just not in the position to do it. Our big black car isn't ready. I got to make sure everything else is up. My weekly shit's ready, or else I would. Taylor's doing such a great job. I hate not to support him, and he's a good friend of mine, but it just ain't in the cards this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I think you got a good shot at Big Diamond title this year, man.
Yeah.
No, I really believe that. I've been quietly putting together a really good deal, and there's I'm going to give a run for money. I can promise you that. We got the stuff to do it, so I'm kind of excited about it. I figured I got three title shots. I got a Kutztown Micro Speedster and Big Diamond Friday night, so we're gonna give them hell.
Yeah, and you got to help the fan base. I mean, people follow you. You know.
Now,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, we just had a little bit of a glitch there. I'm sorry about that, Billy.
That's no problem.
If you're just joining us, we got Billy Pouse Jr. on the line. Billy, I want to get into a conversation here a little bit. I don't want to put you on the spot, but you mentioned Brett Dale and the job he's doing with Modified Racing. What do you think of this NDRL deal? And you think it's gonna bring Modified Racing to the next level, or what are you thinking?
I think it was approached with Brett, and when the bandwagon's hot, you gotta jump on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think Modified Racing is what it is at this point. Can it get a little bigger? Yeah, it can, but it's tough for us to travel. Most of us are weekend people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think Modified Racing's got a nice niche up here. I think Dale's doing a great job of promoting it up on top of it. So NDRL can't hurt, man. I think that's a positive for him. I'm just the war between him and Harpel is great for the racers because we're getting a lot of money, but it's gonna end ugly sooner or later.
It's gonna end ugly. We'll see where it ends up, but
if it ain't ugly already,
yeah, it's about to get uglier. But,
yeah.
Exactly. So here's my number one for the year. If we win the Kutztown Speedster title, the guy with Wayne Subaru has a champ car. Our deal is if I win it, we're going to Syracuse with a champ car. So we'll see.
So you won't even be at Dale's show then?
No, I'm catching it on the way back.
Oh, well, no, because we're going to go to Rolling Wheels after that.
Well, there you go. That's another one I could do.
3-1,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, man. We could do, and you could get a small block ride Saturday, so you could do USAC.
I could do it all,
Crown.
Man.
Yeah, the small blocks, and then we could get you to 410 ride at the Outlaws for Rolling Wheels.
Exactly. That might be an idea, but that was our shake in our hands, so we'll see if it happens. So we're working on it.
There's something the old man hasn't done.
Yeah.
No, we're working towards it. I don't know. This is the best and most confidence I've had in my racing career ever, and I think everything's going the right way, and we're just, I don't know. Can't explain it, but there's one thing: when things are going good, you gotta hopefully can build off them.
Whip, what do you think? Do you think he sounds confident, Whip?
Oh yeah, I know. Billy. I seen Billy race his first slingshot.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while, and you beat yourself up, and you get down years, and I had up years, and you know, I'd ran, and we're really good friends, me and Bob, being a pioneer, and I really gotten good at the end of that deal, and when he broke that deal down for the year or two, and I went my own way. It kind of set me back a little bit, but we built back up, and I was able to do my own deal, run for Ed and Karen, and I did some other stuff and built back up to where I think we're stronger than I've been in a long time. So I'm in the confidence there, and I'm a different driver than I was 5 years ago. So we'll see if we can swing it, you know?
Yeah, one thing you got to admit, right, Whip, is that Billy – is one of the most versatile drivers the area. It is really amazing how you can jump in these different cars, and they definitely do have different feels to them. But you adapt very quickly.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And I'll be the first to tell you, though, guys, it probably screws me up for winning races because if I concentrate on one thing, I'd probably win a ton more races. But to be honest with you, I want to win races as bad as anybody, but I want to have fun doing this. When I'm 65 telling stories, I want to have good stories. I don't want to be saying I ran Grandview every Saturday night and won 100 races. I want to say, man, I went to Eldora. I went here. I want to race here. That's what I want to tell. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's the way it is, you know?
Yeah. I won the. I ran the big car at Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing to respect them when this Grand Grandview their whole life, and it's a great place to be, but I'm just stating it's not really what I always wanted to do, you know?
Right. Yeah. Hey, the one race you want to win out of all the races you're entering, what's one race that sticks out that you would love to win?
Who doesn't win a 76er?
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Now, if you really want to pull it off, if I can sweep the weekend to be the first one to sweep the weekend this year, I'm going to kiss Whippy in victory lane.
Oh, I'm in.
I got to win Friday night and Saturday night, so we'll see what happens.
That would be cool.
Oh, yeah. How awesome would that be?
How about it? Yep. I mean, what do you think of that Friday night gig at Grandview on now? Now it just turns from a Thursday night to the party night.
Well, no, still, most people will party Friday night, but because most people won't race, so they'll race do it afterwards. I don't really party that much in the way for the Sixers.
Right.
So I'll be there racing. So we'll probably pack our motorhome up and go out, hang out, and see if we kick their ass Friday night and build on it for Saturday, you know?
Yeah, that's the attitude. I love the attitude.
I love the attitude, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see, you know? We're gonna. I don't know. You know, there's some things explained. It's like I always dreamed, and I'm getting, you know, 20, I'll be here shortly, but I always wanted to run a year at Lincoln, so. And I love Lincoln 410 sprints, and that's something I don't know. If you don't like a race in Lincoln, you don't like racing.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, yeah. We just had Wayne Harper on.
Hello, by the way.
Yeah,
Wayne is one of my favorite people. That's why I try to go out there. The only thing that sucks about Lincoln is the 3-hour ride.
Yeah. We complain about our ride.
Yeah. You got a little longer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in one year, I'm sitting there. One of these years, we're not going to run every week this year. I think we got 10 or 12 Lincoln shows, I think, it's on our schedule. So that's still probably half, a little under half of them. So it's a good amount. So we'll be busy. You don't know. I might pop in at Grandview on a Saturday night too in a modified. We'll see.
I'll tell you, people still would love to see you there. I mean, you got a great fan base backing. You know, people love.
No, I'm really fortunate for that. And I tell everyone, one of these years I'm going to end back up probably running Grandview or New Each of Boca close to home once that whole family thing kicks in and have a kid or something, because it's going to be a little tough for me to travel and everything. But at this point, I'm enjoying myself and see what I can do, you know?
Yeah.
Don't do that to Mrs. Pouch yet.
No. We got about 2 or 3 years yet, though.
Yeah.
So
she
told me when my dad retires, then we're going to have to start talking about it, because then he'll be in the pits driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've been talking about all these races that you're going to be running. You're going to be running all over the place, you know, in 8 million different cars. Did you put a consolidated schedule together yet that you could post someplace, you know, on Facebook or whatever,
I have an idea in my head, and I have it all on a spreadsheet, so I could post it if you really want to see everything. I'll post it on Facebook for shits and giggles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people want to know.
It always changes all the time, so I kind of don't like to go ahead and meet a month or two.
Well,
but you know what? It never hurts. I can throw it up there and see. You know?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Just to get people to. You know, an idea. I mean, and you know, you can put up right up on the top there, you know.
Subject to change.
Exactly. Yeah, see, I got to get off, and I really slumped. I should have let people know I was going to Big Time and Weekly. I don't know. Like I said, I've always been big on PR, but I don't know. One of these things, I've always seen Dwayne Howard really not talk much and come out and kick ass, and that's what I kind of said. I'm going to try and do that this winter.
Now, there's a guy to model yourself after.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Dwayne's phenomenal at that.
Yeah. Absolutely. He
very good.
Talks very softly, but carries one heck of a big stick.
Big steering wheel.
Exactly. He's very, very good at that, you know?
Yeah. So. Hey, what'd you do with Dad for his birthday? Did you treat him to dinner?
Took him to dinner. Had to have lamb. Right. So we took him somewhere for lamb. Who the heck eats lamb?
Apparently your dad does.
Apparently your
dad.
Yeah,
exactly. So he liked it, so that was all that was good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, it was nice. We had a good time, and then when I worked in the shop, and then we took him to dinner, and it worked again. So he's pumping up for the racing year. I think he come back from Florida with high heels, and ooh, he's got a lot of race cars around the shop. So we'll see what happens.
Jeez, oh whiz.
The pouches are. Go ahead.
We're coming loaded for bear this year with everything here. I'm looking. Oh God, he's got one, two, three, four cars in the shop right now.
Oh my God.
Dude.
Yeah, our shop's loaded. We're actually running out of room, and we have a pretty big shop.
Wow, we better get racing.
Yeah, we need to get racing. We need to get using this stuff up. So I'm hoping we're plumb prepared and crossing our T's, and I'm actually laying out my I'm half tempted. What do you guys think? My car I ran last year, the 15. Yeah. I only had 5 races on the body. I built new doors and quarters. I was getting them lettered. I was actually going to start out with the old stuff and put new doors and quarters on them like May. I think that's better than coming out with the new doors and quarters.
Yeah,
right
that way
away.
You don't knock the pretty right off it the first night.
Oh,
you know?
No.
Exactly. I do it every year. I build this new body, and it's like, I just want to take the old one out and change some sponsors around and start with that and then bring the new one out. Because it's only got 4 or 5 races on it, so it's not like a ratty body, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, wouldn't you feel like, you know, a little more gutsy with that old body on? You know, you're not too worried about getting it all.
Exactly. I never forgot that I spent all winter building the body 1 year. The first guy ran into me 1 year, Seals Grill. I was ready to kill him. I thought I seemed what. I says, this is enough of this.
And how did they run into you at Seals Grove? That place is big.
I don't know. He tried to pull a slide job going wrong.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like girls going wild, slide jobs going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, leave the old body panels on for opening night.
That's what I'm thinking there. So that's what we're leaning towards. So I'm excited to get back to McDonald's. I have a lot of fans there. It's probably one of my that's where I started racing, and I enjoy Friday nights, and that is the only place I can run on Friday night and still work on Fridays. I gotta work at 4 and they don't start late. The Grove is just impossible for me to do. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, you know.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited about it, and go up and see Jake and Diamond Dog and all them, and hopefully we can rouse them up and give CVD a run for his title.
There you go. Now you mentioned about slide jobs, okay? Now you're really used to doing those in the midget and in the sprint cars.
Yep.
But you see more and more of that move coming into the modifieds over the last couple of years.
Yes, you do. I slide jobs are the way of racing. The problem is no one modifies and hit you in the back bumper and ruin your back bumper. So, I think it's an intense form of racing, and makes it interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, it just seems like more and more guys are trying to attempt those in a modified, which I think is really cool. You know, I saw Dwayne do it a couple times last year, and he knows how to do it. You know.
Yeah, and you see a lot of slide jobs there. You'll see a lot of New Egypt, and you gotta make stuff happen. You gotta make hay when the sun's shining. So you gotta go and slide them and get things done. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff.
We're in pretty good shape here, and we'll see. Hopefully, I'm seeing you guys in Victory Lane, and we're gonna have a good year. So.
Cool.
We'll kick some butt the best we can do.
All right. Well, hey, Billy, want to say thank you very much for coming on Low and Down and Dirty. Really appreciate it. And we wish you the best for 2014.
Well, thank you, guys. And I've been a while since I've been on Low, Down, and Dirty. I think it was back when you guys originally started. So I guess I'm an East Lebanonary enough to make it back on.
Yeah. And it sounds like if we get you some Low, Down, and Dirty stickers, can you put them on your car?
I'll put an LDD sticker on there.
All right.
Is it Low, Down, and Dirty, LDD, right?
Yeah, yep. LDD, yep.
Ah, gotcha. So it's not double D, it's LDD.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. All right, Billy, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Well,
good
thank
luck
you guys
year.
Again. Enjoy yourself, and I'm sure I'm going to see both of you at the racetrack, man.
You bet.
You got it.
All right, see you guys. Thank you.
See ya. Billy Pouch Jr. Boy, is he busy.
God. Is he up on the chip or what, man?
Yeah. He's swamped. Yeah.
He's got my head spinning.
I'd like to be his final guy. Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there'd be some issues there. I mean, you don't know which ends up from day to day, you know?
What number do you put on? You might
what
get
number
screwed
you put
up
on?
With a number.
Which car are we working on today, you know?
Yeah. Jeez, 33 could be 15.
Yeah.
You know, 15 could be 33.
Dude.
We messed up.
Yeah. But we wish Billy all the best, you know.
Yep. I mean, hey, you know, in the diversity, because the apple don't fall from the tree there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pops has done some stuff in a sprint car and a modified and some other stuff.
I guess he's got some gene support.
Yeah. It's cool, though. He has won at Five Mile Point, and Billy Sr. hasn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely one.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, he got to hang with the old man in Victory Lane. If I'm on point, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know. So. But yeah. Yeah, if you want to, I'm good.
Do you want to take a little bit of break here? Collect ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back to finish up the show.
Yep.
All right. We'll just we'll bring Joey in. We'll do some chatting.
Yeah.
Finish up the show.
We woke him up.
Joe, you there?
Joe, come in, Joe.
Yeah, he's working on the phone, so he must be awake.
He's busy.
You know?
It's all business. Yep.
He's busy. All right. If Tammy's so would oblige us in taking us out to a commercial break, we'll see you on the other side.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is your old pal Clarence on behalf of Low Down and Dirty. We're going to be talking about some wings tonight here from the Wingman Bar and Grill, located over here in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. The Wingman Bar and Grill serves the freshest, mild, hot, suicide, and tough guy wings if you can handle them. They also have a nice menu of hot and cold subs, pizza, wraps, and panini. The Wingman also has 12 beers on tap and a large selection of cold takeout beer. In addition to the fine eat-in dining experience, a large takeout menu, a wide assortment of beers on tap, the Wingman Bar and Grill also holds special events and entertainment such as Texas Hold'em Poker, trivia, karaoke, and from time to time they even have some live bands. Take advantage of Wingman's outdoor seating for the summer. Enjoy the summertime. The restaurant and bar open daily from 11:30 a.m. on up at about to 2 a.m. and a bar menu be available at the 10 p.m. So be sure to check out their website for weekly chef specials. You can find them at the web at www.wingmanbarandgrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Wingman Bar and Grill. The Wingman Bar and Grill has been voted best wings in Philly for 4 years in a row. Also voted best burger in 2010. For takeout service, call in your order at area code 267-923-5067. Stop on by and bring some friends and make a night of it. The Wingman Bar and Grill is located at the shops in Upper Hanover in downtown East Greenville, PA. Stop on in. Clarence will be over there eating some wings and chowing down. Grab a beer and have some fun. Let's all go to the Wingman in East Greenville.
Hey, welcome back for some more Lowdown and Dirty. We have a few more minutes left in the show here.
Thanks, Tom.
Whippy's paying his bill. Dennis, you going to hook a brother up?
Nope.
Hey, Whip. Yeah, come on, man.
Atta boy.
Hook us up.
I'm on the Obama. Down to Scotty. Pass that
I'm
down
on
Scotty.
The Obama program.
What do I need this for, Joe?
It's for that good time last night, Scotty. Thanks.
Wow. You're cheap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm getting changed, Whip.
No. Oh. Hey, so let's see. What a show.
Scotty's just now laughing. He just now got it.
I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got it, brother.
Yeah, uh-huh. No, you got it.
Yeah. No. You did.
So, Joe, what did we learn tonight?
I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that there was RC racing at the mall last week. It's cold outside. And what? And Brendan Brown is a good guy.
All that.
Yep, I learned all that tonight.
None of it related to
I race. Learned more about him, but I can't really express
can't
that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't express that.
All right. What'd you learn about racing tonight, Joe?
Oh, I didn't learn anything. There's nothing to learn about racing. No. Cars just go around in a circle.
You know why? Brown and Brown, he got a victory lane.
Absolutely.
Levi Jones.
On this show.
On this show.
Quote.
Yep. Hey, we got to thank Billy and Jake Maynard for coming on.
Again, excellent job on that tribute car.
Got to thank Mr. Wayne Harper for coming on. Folks, sounds like cross your fingers. Maybe we're going racing Saturday.
Boy, Wayne sure thinks so.
And if you were listening to Billy Pouch's interview and you ain't tired.
Yeah.
Hats
little
off
Billy
to the,
exhausted me.
Yeah. Hats off to the young man. Mr. Pouch Jr. is.
Gosh.
He's running everything.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs an ROC car. A race running remote control cars, too.
Is there going to be like a big wheel race or anything at the Coventry Mall show this week? He'll probably enter that.
Yeah.
Oh, he can RC race at the Coventry Mall show.
He can RC race, yeah.
He's
John Wilburn's on Facebook today
looking for a ride?
No, he's looking for guys to come over and run RC cars, you know?
Ah, all right.
Which night?
That mall is dead and empty. There should be a lot of room to race them.
Yeah. They could run them in and out of the empty.
Yeah, there's lots of empty stores.
Stores, yeah, okay. But, hey, get on over there this weekend.
Yeah, you got the Coventry Mall.
Phillipsburg's also going on.
Yep, Phillipsburg Mall is also going on. So you got Coventry Mall. So you can do more mall tours. I've done 3 malls in 4 days.
It's a lot of mall racing.
Yeah, my legs are tired. My knee hurts.
Your knee hurts.
Yeah.
Why knee? Well, I've been doing a lot of mall racing.
Been a lot of mall racing. A lot of cartoon book looking. You know,
coloring contest. Big coloring contest.
Coloring.
My kid brother got a kick out of that coloring contest.
He liked that
one.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with Scotty the other day, and here's what I found out about coloring contests and mall shows and mall racing. Some of the biggest ads on any race cars at any mall race anywhere are the lettering guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's the truth.
Hey, you know what I did take notice up at the Southern Tier Speed World Show? They all had their steering wheels in them.
It's safer there.
It's safer there than down in
Redding.
Down in Redding.
Redding, PA. Redding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have a
tendency to get stolen from Redding.
Yeah. They all had their steering wheels in the car.
And what would you do with a gas cap off of a fuel cell?
I don't know. Do they scrap them?
It's just all scrap.
Is that what it is? Scrap? Scrap metal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer. That's sad. Yeah, every car had a steering wheel. I took notice of that. That's the kind of things I do, you know.
Your observations are beyond brilliant at times.
Yeah. Yep.
So. His recall.
His recall is way beyond brilliant at
right.
most times.
He doesn't remember how much money he's got in his checkbook, but.
What checkbook? But I could tell you how fast the first Kenny Wells Memorial was. That's sad. That's
sad.
Terrible. That is a terrible life I live. You know.
No, it's
I wouldn't. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
No.
God bless you, my friend.
Wake up,
I wish I shared
every
your enthusiasm.
Every day, just thinking about racing.
Yeah. Because I mean, I went to New York home this weekend, and I ran into a few friends of mine, and they were showing me pictures of their grandkids, and they were looking at me like I'm gonna pull out the pictures of my grandkids.
You don't have no pictures.
I ain't got no pictures even of a kid.
I don't know. Google one and carry one around.
carry one around. He don't look nothing like you, though.
Really takes after his mother.
Yeah, whoever she is.
Yeah.
I'm just no parent. I never meant to be a parent. I don't want to be a parent. So, but hey, give us a shout out on Facebook, man. Like us on Facebook. We're up to 960 likes.
Yeah, do that.
Give us a hit.
Yeah, getting close.
Close to
1,000 mark.
So we got to figure out what we're doing for next week. Maybe we'll have race results next week.
No. Yes. That would be nice.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And Tammy's either telling me we have 2 minutes or she wants
to
give world peace a chance. So I'm not sure. I think it's the two-minute mark.
Yep. So, and probably all is good in the world because Junior's on point, leading the points.
Leading the points, yeah.
And Kurt Busch is going to run double duty.
I saw that. I mean, he has just become awesome in my book, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't like the Busch boys too much, but if he pulls that deal off,
that's big.
Big.
Yep. Maybe that's why he went to Stuart Haas Racing to start with.
Yeah, because they were going to let him do that deal.
Yeah. So, all right, we got to go. Send us off, Joe.
See ya.
No, we
appreciate everybody tuning in tonight again to Lowdown and Dirty. We'll see you all next week right here at 8:05 for some more Lowdown and Dirty. So stay tuned. Have a great night. God bless, and have a great week. Take care.